be not overcome of evil. Genesis chapter 21 and verses 22 to 34 is the title of today's message. In life, we come into contact with people from all walks of life, and we meet people in every situation, whether in the workplace, whether in the schools, whether in the home. In every situation, we interact not only with ourselves, the people close to us, but also our neighbors. What constitutes godly Christian conduct? The Apostle Paul imparted the skills for handling human relationship that brings honor and glory to our great God. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 17 to 21. And it is no coincidence that we are also studying this passage today in our adult Sunday school class. And the Lord shows us the mind of God and the demeanor of godliness in action. It relates well Abraham's interaction with this heathen Philistine king by the name of Abimelech that we read here. It seems that this name is a generic name that is used of a man that is living in that area, that is holding certain authority. So this is the passage from Genesis 21, which we have read, which we will consider. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Mindset that is very difficult to learn. Only the man with his born again with the love of God, with the Spirit of God, would be able to understand and to implement such a spiritual, divine demeanor, for it is contrary to the nature of this fallen world that we lived in. The Apostle Paul has been teaching the Christians in Rome the principle that we must bless those who do harm us and persecute us. We must bless them and not curse them. We are to recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, we are to live peaceably with all men. This is wisdom that is pure and peaceable from heaven, from God, that we would like to learn. And so men and women of true wisdom, not those who only think they are wise, are peacemakers. Proverbs 20:22 says, "Say thou not, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." Wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Say thou not, I will recompense evil. When we are hurt, it is easy and quick for us to want to retaliate, for us to want to respond in kind. But here the Apostle Paul is teaching us a different demeanor. Jesus says, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:39, "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. What an impossible command that our Lord says to us. But in the Lord Jesus Christ and by His grace, this is the spirit of the blessed Lord's life that He seeks to instill in His people, that will, as the apostles in the book of Acts says, turn the world right side up. Not upside down, but right side up. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15. See that thou render not evil, or render to none evil for evil. So this is a teaching that is very prevalent to the mind of the sanctified, the renewed mind, the heavenly mind, the mind that is touched by divine grace. Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. This, he said, we are to do by renewing our mind when someone has done you some wrong, doing something truly evil to you. What do you do about it? Paul says, do not pay him back. Do not recompense evil for evil. The natural instinct is to hit back. David, as we saw in the Old Testament, was a son of Abraham. He was a man of strong feelings and passion. But as we read the story of David, it is amazing to look at the way he was maltreated by Saul, the first king of Israel, who hounded him as if he were chasing a flea. Look at the indignities which Saul heaped upon him. David's reaction was incredible, we said. Many times he could have killed Saul, but he did not. He said to Saul, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. 1 Samuel 24, verse 12. Indeed, when David was told about the death of Saul and his son Jonathan, David's heart was broken. We would have thought that David would have rejoiced in view of the fact that Saul had insulted him in every conceivable manner. But on the contrary, he was overwhelmed with grief. So here we are speaking a different demeanor. And there is a story of David's handling of the terrible Nabal. The word Nabal means a fool in the utmost extreme degree. David listened to the pleadings of Abigail and he left judgment to God. You remember the story? He was looking after Nabal's cattle and protecting it for a period of time together with his men, and when they were hungry, they came and asked that they may be provided for. And the man said, go away, go away. And he was angered. And at the time, he brought his men and they were ready with the sword drawn. to kill Nabal. But the wife of Nabal, Abigail, came and restrained them. And there was a restrained maid. And the Bible tells us that after a short time, 10 days, God caused Nabal to be stricken and he died. He died within 10 days. Paul is quoting and teaching us through the scriptures the way by which the Christian triumphs through the evil of this world. And David was a man like ourselves who was ready to avenge himself, but he did not. Paul says in Proverbs 25:21-22, which is a rephrase of Romans 12:20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head." What do you mean by that? Well, it is to be understood metaphorically. He will probably be more miserable at that point than he has ever been before. Certainly much more miserable at that point. For he acted unkindly and in an amicable manner. You will cause pain, not physical pain, but pain of shame and pain of remorse. So it is to prick the heart. That's why Jesus says, if he gives you one side of your cheek, give him the other side. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he allow himself to go to the cross? Well, it's precisely for that situation that he would arouse us to think concerning how we are behaving, to lead to self-examination and to repentance. So such godly action will shock the other person. He will begin to reconsider what he has done to you, and then to see how terribly wrong it is, and this will lead to repentance. And of course, when you do good, it may not lead to that final outcome. But it is in faith that we do so. Your task is to do everything to bring that person to that understanding. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the biblical approach to God-honoring human relations. And so it leads us to the two thoughts that we have today. Living honestly and peaceably, verse 22-24. Living honestly and peaceably, verses 22-24. And avenge not yourselves, verse 25-34. Living honestly and peaceably, avenge not yourselves. Verse 22 of our text tells us. And it came to pass at that time, Abimelech and Pichor, the chief captain of his host, speak unto Abraham. So we are in a confrontation. In the history of mankind, what is the common denominator in every fight? Well, to fight for territory, right? To fight for gain, to fight for influence. Well, that's carnal. But the Lord says to us here that Abraham, in fact, when he was living there, he sought to live peaceably with the neighbors, not only in their generation, but also to seek peace also for their descendants. An interesting prospect you see here. the Philistine king. And you know the animosity between Israel and the Philistines throughout their history. But here you see them making peace. Verse 22 says, "And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Pichor, the chief of captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou wilt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned." And Abraham's response, verse 24, "I will swear." So he was a man that was willing to live peaceably with his neighbor. You see, he has grown very wealthy. He has grown very influential. And his servants, we know, have many exploits, even in the military sense. You remember when Lot was taken, when he was living in Sodom, the kings, the Confederate kings from the north came, five kings, right? They came and they took all that was in Sodom. So Lot, the family, was taken captive, and Abraham, when he knew about it, what did he do? Well, he gathered his 318 servants and he pursued after them. And how God gave them by night a victory. They overcame a large army. Well, we said divinely. God was with them. There was a mission for his people. And here we see in our text, Abraham and Abimelech the king and Pichor his general sought to live peaceably as neighbors, not only in their generation, but they sought peace also for their descendants. God blessed Abraham. He had great possessions and influence, and the king of the land sought peace with him. He did not want a conflict. You see, what happened was this, that in that place, the wherewithal for sustenance is to be able to find a well with water. Right? If you find a well with water, you would be able to feed your crop, irrigate the land, feed the family and the people. So there was that contention that went on between the Philistines and the people of Abraham's family, his servants. And verse 25 tells us concerning a dispute that has gone on. He was willing to live peaceably, but there was a dispute. There was a dispute there. Verse 25, he says, "Abraham reproved Abimelech." So he was not afraid to say to this man concerning the action that he was alleged to have done. Right, because of a well which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. So there was a contention. A well that belonged to Abraham now was dispossessed. And he understood that it was violently taken away from him. So he had suffered loss. And in that, so they are in a confrontation. Well, they are on the table, sitting down to negotiate, as it were, the terms. so that they would be able to come to a settlement concerning what will be to move forward. Well, here you can see that neither party wanted an armed conflict, and each wanted control of the water sources through the wells that were dug there. And Abraham sought to clarify a conflict that had arisen between their servants. And so instead of jumping to conclusion, he spoke to him personally. Matthew 18 verse 15 says, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So this was what Abraham did. There was a conflict, and he asked him. And this was the response from Abimelech. He did not listen to the servants and, you know, come to a conclusion that it was initiated from Abimelech. But he asked. And what was the response? Verse 26 tells us, Abimelech said, "I would not. Who had done this thing? Neither didst thou tell me, neither heard I of it, but today." And so he was coming, you know, he was a king over a vast area. And what happened there in that place where Abraham resided, well, he was not aware. But he came because there was this conflict that has taken place. And so here you see Abraham seeking a clarification. He was not aware of the conflict that had taken place and honestly told Abraham. So as our text tells us, it was not a case of Abimelech's malice instructing his servants to find trouble, to take possession of Abraham's well. Although this is a common phenomenon, right, in the world that we live in, right, the law of the jungle, might is right. Well, here you see Abraham sought a peaceful settlement by making a covenant together. And here you see he sought to live honestly and peaceably, and he sought not to avenge himself. And Abraham took the sheep and oxen and gave unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. So he was initiating, although Abimelech himself was also forthcoming in clarifying, right, verse 23 of our text says, "God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now, therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou wilt do unto me to the land wherein thou hast sojourned." So here you see a peaceable, peaceful demeanor to seek, right, a settlement that would enable, right, the two groups to be not violently, harming the other party, but seeking a peaceful arrangement. And this was what they did. And this was what Abraham did. Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Now, it's quite different, his response, to what happened earlier. You remember in the earlier chapter, I think it was the time when the kings came and took Lot and the family. At that time, it was war. It was war because they have violently taken away. These are unreasonable men, and they were not. They taught by the sword. And so Abraham understood these are unreasonable men, and therefore God enabled him by His grace. That's in Genesis chapter 14. Right, Genesis chapter 14, to have that victory, you remember? Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left side of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also again, and brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him. So here speaks about how there was a confrontation. But here, you see, in Genesis 21, it's not a confrontation. A man, a neighbor who seeks to live peaceably with him, and you see that he reciprocated in kind. That's a godly way. Verse 27 says, "And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech. And both of them made a covenant, and Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For this 7 ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, and thou shalt be a witness unto me that I have digged this well." So Beersheba was the place whereby it was recognized. You remember in the earlier readings, there were lots of conflict. Those of you who are reading through the Bible in 1 year, you'll be able to read in the past week, you recall. Right? The conflict between the Philistines and Abraham's people. Right? One well after the other, it was taken from him. So they had to retreat and retreat and retreat, and finally, that was at Sheba. This was an opportune time, right? The king himself came, and so they had to have a settlement, and he was very brave, and he confronted the man, and it seemed that this man was a reasonable man. He was willing to talk sense. And so they came to a settlement. God granted him peace with his enemies. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abraham arose, and Pichor, the chief captain of his host, so he came with his general. Right, so here we are talking about not just a confrontation that can lead to a war, right? Because the arms are drawn. But here you can see also that the way in which the Lord wants His people to deal is to deal peaceably, and therefore there was not that confronting spirit, but a peaceable spirit, speaking to reason, and that was what Abraham did. And Abimelech was wont to reason, and this was the response, and they made a settlement there. Verse 33, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. So he was in enemy territory. An enemy allowed him to dwell there. How is it possible to dwell in enemy territory by a peaceable disposition? God was with them. It was God who promised them or him the possession of the land. He is to dwell there. It's being given to his descendants. But how is it going to be worked out? And this was how it was worked out. There was violence, but finally a peace settlement. As a result of this peace treaty, Abraham and his household had a trouble-free sojourn in the Philistine land many days. So you see here how he was able to go to the enemy territory and yet find favor with his enemy and live peaceably. Well, God gives us the honorable principles by which we may learn and we may apply. This passage gives to us God's gracious preservation of Abraham in the land that God called him to possess. He was not rash with his action, but weighed his actions carefully, ascertaining the facts and acting righteously. How can we renew our mind to return evil with good? At times, we are overtaken by anger to act rashly. How can we restrain ourselves? How can we restrain ourselves? Well, you see here that a man who is endowed with the Spirit of God, that is a restraint that the Spirit of God gives us, that enables us to view in the Spirit. And therefore, we are able to restrain our spirit. There is a calmness, there is an understanding, a spiritual demeanor that God gives us. And indeed, this is precious. And God seeks that we would learn this principle. Yes, we may suffer. Yes, we may suffer by not returning tit for tat, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And yet, it is a principle that the Lord sought that we would esteem the other better than ourselves. Well, we shall speak more of it during our adult Sunday school class. May the Lord bless us with understanding. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. Strengthen us by Thy grace and grant to us understanding to do Thy good will, accordingly receiving Thy blessing. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.